is mine. And here is your host, Gary Cacciolio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Everything Imaginable. I am your host, Gary Cacciolo. And before we get started, I want to thank everybody for listening and also thank the contributors to the show, who are Candace Sanderson, author of The Reluctant Messenger. Excuse me, Ms. Aida, author, psychic, spellcaster, root worker, and witch. You can find her at MsAida.com, MissAida.com. Also, Ginger Glasser at TarotByGinger.com, tarot reader, evidential medium, and healer. And also Alan Questel. You can find him at UncommonSensing.com and his new book on Amazon, which is called Intentional Acts of Kindness. Go there and check it out. And now, without further ado, our guest for today is Nicole Magic, and she is an empowerment alchemist. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks for having me, Gary. Great to be here.
Indeed it is. Why are we here?
Synchronicity.
But isn't that the big question? Why are we here?
Right.
I mean, that's the ultimate empowerment, is knowing why you're here. If you know why you're here, then you are completely 100% empowered.
Yes, you are. And that shifts and realigns, right? It's really tapping into what's aligned for you right now and moving on into the future as well. What's aligned for you as your person, what your soul's divine purpose is, and not catering to what everyone else thinks that you should do.
How do you get things into alignment, though? I mean, I think I probably went maybe the first 54 years of my life out of alignment.
Yeah, that tends to happen, right? Because it's about the self-discovery and being open to really seeing who you are and uncovering who you are and being curious about who you are along the way. I think so.
But how do you get the alignment to happen?
It's something natural that does happen. And you can go deeper and deeper. So I like to liken things to different diving boards. Mm-hmm. And as you discover things about yourself, this is why the whole know thyself thing is a big deal, because the more you know about yourself, the more you understand about everyone else around you. So, you know, it's that whole as above, so below, as within, so without. Mm-hmm. And you start to see and understand how people are reflecting things that are within you externally, and being able to read that, because it's not always about it's the exact same thing. It could be the opposite. And opposites are the same, they're just a different degree. Mm-hmm. So when you start to really uncover these things and understand yourself more and more, you will understand why you react certain ways, what your beliefs are, and how you want to change them to become what you most desire.
So like self-awareness, mindfulness.
It is. And being able to apply it to understand I usually look at what are your desires? What is it that you want to have in your life? And then look at the values that you hold. And where are those values being fulfilled, and where there might be some lack or some blocks in achieving that 100%.
What is the difference between a desire and a value, and which one is more likely to manifest?
Ooh, so it all happens at the same time, right? So when we take a look at defining your desire, we're taking a look at what do you really want in your life. And when I take clients through this process, it's peeling back the onion. And a lot of times people will start off with, oh, you know, I want that house or that car or that money. But if you strip it down a little bit further, you start to uncover that people want to feel a certain way in their life. So they want to feel at peace. They want to feel freedom. They want that independence. And what does that mean? It may mean that they want that financial freedom. It may mean that, you know, they want that house or that car so that they can create the space that makes them feel at peace. So stripping it down to what is that emotion is much more important. And then looking at the values. If you look at the values that people hold, there's a certain alignment that will take precedence, or alignment that happens along the way with how you live your life and the behaviors that you elicit, and tying back to your values, because those values are attached to your beliefs.
I agree. It is that simple. But knowing that it's that simple, why do you think it keeps people tripped up for so long?
Because the beliefs that they hold that are self-sabotaging
get so it's tied to programming.
Yeah, it's definitely the programming. It goes back to if we take certain beliefs, and a lot of times people come to me with stuff that they're stuck in their business, and they say, and I've heard this a million times, so if I just had a dollar every time, right? I know what I need to do, but I'm just not doing it. I know what I need to do. Why am I not doing it?
You're telling yourself not to do it.
You're telling yourself not to do it. You're avoiding something, and whatever that is, there's a belief there that is coming up that's being triggered. And I have, you know, my own stories about working through my own stuff at certain points. And some of these beliefs are so ingrained inside the body. So the mind shifts very quickly. Your mind can change into a different thought. But the body has all this energy trapped inside of it. Mm-hmm. And all these beliefs trapped inside of it. And it has muscle memory, and all those epigenetics, all the generations before that passed these patterns down all the way down the line. And you're sitting there with all of that trapped inside of you. When you decide, oh, I'm going to do this, right? For me, it was a good one was, you know, gaining more visibility. Well, there was a belief that was trapped inside of my body, and I was saying the same thing. I know what I need to do. Why am I just not doing it? And I'm like, oh my gosh, I sound like my client, right? So I was like, ooh, this is good, because I get to tackle this right now. And it's like the body has to catch up, because when the mind shifts, the body has to then have that period of that catching up to release anything that's trapped in there and release any epigenetic patterns and programs, because the body says, oh, we're not doing this. And it just locks up on you because it's used to doing something very specific, which is that nothing. Mm-hmm. Right? We're not doing that. That's dangerous. And we're going to get hurt, or this is going to happen. When we do this, this is what always happens. And that's why people get stuck in those loops. So for me, I got to uncover that there was some weird visibility thing that said, if I'm visible because of how I grew up and the programs that were installed in me that said, like, you can't talk about that stuff, Nicole. You know, I could see energy around people. I knew things that would happen. And if I said it, it would freak people out. So it was, you can't talk about that stuff. Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. Don't talk about that stuff. And if I attached it to, I couldn't be authentic around people. I just had to give them like sweet little quiet Nicole.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't always me. So that authenticity, which is like part of my brand, right? It's about being authentic and being empowered and fearlessly authentic. And so that attachment to that visibility and authenticity somehow couldn't fully 100% exist So when I got rid of all of that, there was nothing that was holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
But it would go into this lock mode.
During that transition, like when the mind comes to something and the body has to catch up, is it normal for a person to get like almost like exhausted during that period?
Yeah.
Just like you stop almost functioning?
Yeah, it can go into that like lockdown mode. And that's when you want to hone in on what is the one thing that will move the needle. Just one thing, even giving yourself that grace to say, okay, if I do this one thing, then I can just sit on the couch all day because I actually accomplished something that is moving me in a positive direction. So for me, I can actually still use the same example. Was I say it all the time that I'm like this whiteboard queen. Everything goes up on the whiteboard when I'm working through stuff. And so I put the word visibility up on the whiteboard. And that was really it, was, okay, I'm just going to put the word up there and look at it. And when I did that, it triggered a cascade of moving forward because it spontaneously created this, well, what does visibility mean to me? And that's when I started working all the stuff out. It just came like all these words. And I start looking at the vibrations of the words and what it meant to me and how they tied together. And oh my God, and now it makes sense because of my childhood. And then it came down to that belief. So I uncovered that belief in that moment. And then I was able to say, okay, that's the belief that's in there that says that I can't be these two things at the same time. But I know that's not true because I am these two things at the same time. So what part of me says I can't be that to even more people, right?
Right.
And it just sounds ridiculous.
Right. Right. You can almost like talk yourself into like reframing it to the point where it's like, oh, wait, this isn't even making sense. I see.
Right. So as soon as I did that, it was like, oh. And then my body just kind of went, oh, seriously? Like it was like, oh, you win. I surrender. But then what happens is that purge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can get exhausted because now the body's in healing mode from all that trauma we put ourselves through with those limitations. So that's when I say, now give yourself that grace. Once I got to that point, I realized, okay, I did a full day's work in that 15, 20 minutes. And now I'm going to go sit down and I'm going to rest and I'm going to tell my body that this is okay to process through and heal and release. And I allowed myself to have that rest. And I felt great after. And guess what happened? All of a sudden I was contacted. I didn't even do anything besides just release it. I was contacted through email for the next 3 days for all kinds of different opportunities to be more visible without asking for it right. to particular people. It was just, I asked the universe.
Right. Do you think this all works because we're living in a matrix reality and what we think sort of bounces off of a field back at us and we're just creating this illusion? The whole thing's an illusion and we're creating it and we can totally, totally manipulate it.
Yeah, because everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. So if we're changing our energy, our frequency, our vibration to something that we're looking to create, if we're looking to create that thing and we shift into that energy, frequency, and vibration, guess what we do? We've created it right then and there. So then it's just playing it out. Just like... This is super funny because I was moving and it was like one thing after another that was happening. Something happened in the morning and somebody like got on me about something and it was a very negative person. And then they were like following me around and doing all this stuff. And I'm like, why are you here? What are you doing? And at first it started like infiltrating into my system because like, I'm just trying to move and get my stuff out of here. Right. I was moving, downsizing. I didn't need all this space. And this person was just adamant about being miserable themselves and was like drawing me into it. And at first I was getting really upset because, you know, I was exhausted. Mm-hmm. I had been, you know, going through this stuff and we're just trying to get all like the last bits out and do our cleaning and, you know, I had to get the storage stuff out. So in that whole thing, I had my human moment and I was like, that's it, you know, and I got frustrated. I got angry. And then I went to go get, the kids some stuff to eat and they wanted, you know, they wanted stuff from one particular mm-hmm. place. And it was like, I still had this thing that was happening, this anger moment. And so I was irritated. And that turned into, okay, so I'm in this drive-through line that I didn't want to even be in and all this stuff. And now I see like the other line is going like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 cars. And I'm like, did they forget about us? Right? We didn't order anything yet. And I'm like, I'm on a timeline here. And it was propagating this thing. Mm-hmm. And then I like beeped the horn a little bit, just a beep to see like maybe they, and when I did that, my daughter's like, Mom. And I was like, yeah, but blah, 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 blah. And I just complained about it. And that's when the person got on the microphone and they're like, I'm not going to serve you. And I was like, oh my God. Okay. So when I drove up to, and now I'm stuck in this line, right? So now I have to wait for everybody else to get food and the kids not getting their food. And so I'm like, I'm just going to drive to the next one, whatever. That's fine. But when I drove up and I was like, hear me out for a second. And they're like, no, they didn't want to hear me out. And they're like, nope, you were complaining. We're not serving you. And I'm like, I was talking to my daughter. I wasn't like complaining inside this microphone. So I just went, okay. Like, all right, drive away. And I drove away and then I just started laughing because I'm like, that's it. We're shifting this thing. And like, this has turned into like a really miserable day. And I don't want to do that, right? But as soon as I shifted it out of that, it became something else. And everybody had a great rest of the night, but it was like, whoa, during that time, if we are buying into the negative side, guess what? We just create more of that. And I was like, I know I'm a master manifester. So if I don't shift out very quickly and I want to go down that rabbit hole, we can go from like, stub your toe bad day to we're having natural disasters. Yeah. And I'd rather have, you know, maybe a rainbow and maybe one unicorn or something.
Wow. So I don't know what my listeners are going to think about this. I started this episode off like from a middle perspective. So this whole episode could be like a whole lesson on like there's no such thing as linear time because this episode is not going to be linear.
No, it's not. And, you know, there really isn't that linear time. Everything is happening, you know, so quickly, especially right now, the energies are just like wackadoodle. And you just start seeing like two polar opposites happening at the same time. And so it's, you know, don't swing on that pendulum, stay in the middle. And keep that even street.
Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it? If people did that. I don't know if that's possible in this reality. I mean, it is possible.
I don't know.
Actually, it is possible. I do believe it's possible.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anything is possible.
Yeah. Can't limit ourselves, right?
Right. I mean, there's some...
See, that was like I caught myself.
You did. You caught yourself. If you can think it.
It has to be possible. So,
you know,
one of the things I think about, like, with this, you know, because like when you and I are talking, and like some, like I said, my listeners are probably completely confused because we're sort of are talking from a perception of reality that's not linear. We're talking about one that's interrelational and more reflective in nature. Yeah. And that's all it is. All it really is a slight difference in how we look at reality, more just like from like one into another, rather more it's stacked on top of each other.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
But just like making that change in thinking, I think, would be enough actually to fix most of human problems.
Yeah. And the thing is people will, you know, they want to shift. So nothing changes until you take action, and nothing changes until something changes, right? So taking that action to make the change is what initiates all of it. So if you're looking to create a specific change, your body is going to try to fight a change based on whatever beliefs you have about that type of change that you want to create. So hopefully everybody's still following me there. Because naturally, when we shift into something different, when we put ourselves in a completely different environment, because that's what you're doing when you're creating a mind shift change. You're creating a different environment internally. So it's just like somebody taking you somewhere you've never been and saying, okay, out of the car, here you go, figure it out. What does your body do? Well, where are the dangers? Where do I escape? How do I get out of here? Where's the bathroom? Right? All these things that you go through that the body says, we need to know this stuff, and what's the data, and how do we keep ourselves safe? So that's what the body will do. The mind goes into these thoughts and emotions that are attached to the beliefs. Those thoughts and the emotions then create the behavior. It calls for a specific behavior for you to enact based on that thought and that emotion.
I've never thought of that. But like to me, like anyway, what it sort of sounds like is like when a person experiences a paradigm shift, there might be some anxiety afterwards.
Yeah, there's some weird stuff that happened with my near-death experience that I had, and I ended up 2.5 miles away from the incident in my car. Wow. And like so much stuff happened that was inexplainable. And it took me a long time to wrap my head around it. And it still doesn't make a lot of sense, except for
I jumped
the timeline.
What happened during your NDE?
So I was actually working as a chemist back then. It was in 2006 is when it happened. And I was driving home from Cambridge, Massachusetts, down the Massachusetts Turnpike. And I had about, you know, a little over an hour drive. And all of a sudden, like there was this weird static energy that was happening. And everything just seemed very surreal in its own sense. So it was almost like there was a shift in the energy. There was like cars that were smoking down in a ditch, and like all this slowed down traffic. The traffic was backed up, slowed down. It was rush hour. I was trying to just be in my own space and stay present and drive home. And so I had the band Tool, the song Stinkist was playing on the radio. So I just cranked it up, and I'm like, all right, we're just going to drive home like this. And time just slowed down. Everything became super slow motion, and it was my attention was drawn to the car on the other side of the highway. And this woman was just swaying with the impact of what happened to her car. But in this moment that I looked at this woman, I couldn't see her face because her beautiful black curly hair was covering her face, but I could see like little highlights from the sun, like glistening off of there and like creating this caramel colored highlight. And I could see that her the sway that she had, I was like, what happened? And then I saw the door of hers was smashed in. I'm like, oh, now I'm having this conversation around, well, what happened to her and how did she get hit on her driver's side door? And where is this other car? And then immediately I'm looking up at this other car that's going to land in my lap with the guy inside of it.
Oh, shit.
He came up over the Jersey barrier and was about to land in my lap. His face was all contorted from screaming in terror. And when I looked at him and our eyes met in that moment, everything just stood still. And I went into this zone where I met with the people that I was closest to, my kids and all of that, and basically had a whole conversation with them and said goodbye to each and every single one of them individually. And then when I was done, I ended up saying, okay, I'm ready. And then everything went black because, well, before that, when I saw that guy's eyes, I knew that he was going to land in my lap. His car was going to topple over on top of my car. My head was going to get squished down from the roof of the car and snap my neck, and I'd be dead. And that's when I went into that zone, said goodbye to everybody, and then ended up saying, okay, I'm ready. And this blanket of peace came over me. It was like literally like a warm and fuzzy feeling, this overwhelming sense of love, divine presence was there. And then all of a sudden I felt like I was being projected through this tunnel. And I felt like how I describe it is I felt like the pinball in a pinball machine just getting shot through that initial corridor. And then when I came to, because I came to on the other side of this thing, after all the lights and geometric shapes and all this stuff. But I was gripping my steering wheel in a completely different part of the highway. And I figured out that it was 2.5 miles away because I knew where I ended up. And then I mapped it out on another day back home from work, where it happened and where I ended up. And I woke up, no cars on the highway. And this is rush hour traffic on a turnpike. This does not happen. So I'm coming through this thing like, oh my God, I almost just died. Oh my God, I should have been dead, you know? Like, and then I'm looking around saying, where are all the cars? There's no one before me, no one behind me, no cars on the other side. And am I dead? And I ended up like, then there's this one lone car that was coming up on the other side of the highway. And I'm like, oh my God, where am I? Because I feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. And which side of the highway am I on? Could this be like highway to heaven and highway to hell? Where am I going right now? Because I don't know. So I called my mom and, what do you do in a crisis? You call a mom. And she answered the phone like, oh my God, Nikki, are you okay? I was just praying for you. I felt like I needed to pray for you. I usually pray for you in the morning. And she's just blah, 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 a mile a minute. And I'm like, mom. I'm like, can you just shut up for a second? And she's like, what? What's going on? And I'm like, am I dead? That's what I said to her. And she's like, what? No, you're not dead. You're talking to me on the phone. What are you, nuts? I don't know. I might be nuts. I told her what happened, and It was super funny because she's like, you rode angel wings. I'm like, I rode something. I went through a portal or something. Mm-hmm. But it was like that whole experience, that's one story. But then it was all the stuff that happened after that. Like weird things happened where I just, all of my ability to tap into things intuitively and on that metaphysical and spiritual side were all amplified, like crazy stuff, like touching people and healings taking place and like that kind of stuff. Visions. And I'm like, I can't tell anybody about this stuff right now. People are going to think I'm nuts. But it all worked out because it was just amplified and amplified and amplified. And that's part of the work that I do with people today is just being able to tap into that and intuitively knowing what they need and how to shift out of where they're at.
How long did it take you to learn how to function after that?
Ooh, there was a lot of different things that were happening. You know, you want to talk about layers of things. For a little while, I had a little bit of a more existential type crisis of who am I and what's going on? Because I felt like a very different person. And yet was still, you know, here. And I should back up too and say that before all that happened, I had undiagnosed postpartum depression, and I had been like obsessed with thoughts of death every day for like a year, and I wanted to die. And after that happened, there was none of that. Like I grabbed the only thing that was holding me on was me saying a little mantra that was, these kids need you. Just hold on a little bit longer, just a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. And that's what I said to myself all day long was I'd have this fantasy about death and how I could exit out of the world and then turn around and say, okay, but these kids need you and just hold on a little bit longer, just a little bit longer. When I went home, I just grabbed that kid that came to the door every time. At that point, I had three out of my four kids. And I grabbed that second kid and I squeezed him and was just like, oh my God, I love you so much. I love you so much. I love you so much. And it was just like all this love that I had felt brought so much healing throughout my entire body. And then I was just exuding this love. And, you know, that's really what brings in manifestation and healing and all the things. So holding on to that vibration was super important. But there was definitely things that showed I jumped timelines. So I think I died in that one reality, mm-hmm. and was projected forward and just brought forward certain memories that I needed to have to impact this next chapter or whatever.
I think that's exactly what happened. I had a near-death experience of my own from an epileptic seizure. But the thing that was, like, a week later, I got a book in the mail on paradigm shifts, and it was sent to me from 6 months in the future.
Ooh.
Because I saved the receipt, and I had actually took a picture of the book and the receipt and put it on Facebook, so I always have proof of it.
Oh, wow.
And I always believed that during that seizure, I jumped into a future self, sent myself that book to prove to myself that there's really no such thing as time, and then jumped back.
Yeah.
And people it's always, so and after that, like people thought I was crazy.
Yeah.
But you have physical proof.
You have physical proof. And it's, and you know, if you were going to go and try to create some hoax like that, I don't know. I don't have the time for any of that garbage, like creating stuff that doesn't even make any sense. It's figuring out things that doesn't make any sense that naturally happens. But they were just weird things, like anomalies all over the place and memories that I had that were very different because if we were hopping through timelines, I think we do it all the time.
Yeah.
When we make certain decisions and we shift and when we make big enough shifts, sometimes it happens in our sleep. And I've gotten used to waking up at certain times and having this certain particular feeling of when something shifts. And I'll open my eyes and I'll be like, okay, what reality am I waking up into today? And it's kind of exciting because you know that you're shifting into a more positive space.
Mm-hmm.
And I tend to now have a certain level of awareness looking for some of those anomalies that when they present themselves, I'm like, ooh, this is one. Like, whatever this is all about. And, you know, some of them make sense, some of them don't. And I still have a Haitian coin that appeared in a brand new pocketbook that I purchased that I hadn't used. And so there, this Haitian coin appears in here, and I have no idea why.
Mm-hmm.
We'll figure that one out, maybe or maybe not. Who knows? Who cares?
You definitely gonna need that coin.
I keep it with me now, though, so I carry it with me just in case, like, whatever presents itself, if it comes up, you know. Hey, inquiring minds want to know, universe. Let's hear it.
I mean, to you, it looks like a coin, but maybe it's not really a coin.
Oh, maybe. Who knows?
It is just energy.
Maybe it is just energy. Everything is energy, right?
Right. That's what I mean. The coin actually isn't a coin. It's just energy. So maybe to us it looks like a coin, but maybe it's some type of special frequency device.
Ooh. All right. Well, I'll be sure to use that one out on the street. Would you like to see my special frequency device?
Exactly.
That could be fun, actually.
Oh, yeah. Reality is kind of an interesting thing. But it's kind of cool, you know, talking about, like, going through these paradigm shifts. I think everybody, whether they want to or not, at some point in their life are going to experience a weird paradigm shift where you're going to question, you know, it's like you wake up one day and you're like sort of like a different person. You're like, wait, what just happened?
Yeah.
And then you spend some time like really questioning reality and what you experienced and even wondering whether you have that experience or not.
Yeah, there's so many different layers, and if you think about it, like this big cogs and all kinds of stuff happening all at once, how one thing affects another, and you can kind of go down that rabbit hole of getting really convoluted in your head. So it's definitely that quantum physics of it feels like, oh, it's getting easier to understand, easier to understand, easier to understand until, oh, wait, what just happened? It just flipped in and on and inside out of itself.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I? Who am I?
But don't you ever, do you ever get afraid of like blinking out of reality again?
Oh, so no, I don't get afraid of really much of anything anymore. Like, people try to scare me all the time too. And I mean, I have an autonomic nervous system, so that goes firing off. But as far as, you know, just getting scared about stuff, it's kind of an interesting feeling of not being afraid. Not saying that I'm not afraid of anything,
mm-hmm.
but, I'm very calm through a lot of things. I'll say that. Even like things that happen and usually people get startled. One thing that I do view as is every time that I go for, if I have to have a surgical procedure or receive any kind of anesthesia for anything, because I had a surgery back in last June last year, and I had a massive shared NDE. There were at least 7 people involved, and that's a whole other story, but the main point is that before I went into this thing, I knew that I was going to have the choice to either stay out there or come back. And I didn't know what I was going to choose. So I just kind of left it. Like, okay, we'll figure that out. I think my next t-shirt's going to be like a hashtag fitfo. But we'll figure it out. And when I got wheeled into the surgical room, I realized in that moment, and I just went into this space and telepathically communicated with a friend that I'm really close to and just told her, hey, remember these words. I have to come back and I have a lot of work left to do. And then I was, you know, I kind of went into this mode of just sending that message off. And I had looked at the time. Later on, she had called me. She's like, I don't know what you were doing. It was 10:08 exactly. And I felt your presence. And you, you know, I felt you feeling like not sure if you should come back or not. And I said, you get back there. Because you have a lot of work left to do and you need to get back there. And I was like, so by the, when I talked to her, I was so drugged up that, you know, I was home, but I was still like so loopy because this stuff just, it affects me very intensely and I don't like it. So I was just so messed up and I was sitting there on the phone just saying to her, I can't believe you're saying the words that I said to you. And she's like, what? And I said, I'm too messed up right now. I got to talk to you about this tomorrow when I can think clearly. And I said, just remember this. And but there was like so many people that I visited in this short period of time. And then there were all these downloads and like all this stuff. And I mean, I can go on and on about it, but those downloads seem to pop open at certain times that allow for the information to be accessed. So it's like if we were able to access it all at once, it would be overwhelming and we'd probably short circuit. So it's almost like when a trigger happens and it says, oh, here's some of that information, then all of a sudden it starts to come through. And I remember it because I see it in that light burst that I saw in that day. So there's so much more to that story, but it's, there's just this thing about, to answer your question, this long roundabout way. It's not that I fear anything, but I do get a weird, like what's going to happen when this, so I have another procedure that's coming up on April 1st, when my business turns 16, April 1st, and I realized that they have to sedate me, and I'm like, okay, well, every single time I've been sedated, I've had some weird experience, so, all right, it's almost like, all right, cards on the table, I'm ready, whatever happens, so... This could be the last podcast I do. We don't know. Maybe in this reality.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
I do think sensitive people, though, do have a reaction to propanol. Because it really does throw you. It's like the darkest recesses of consciousness. And then when it wears off, you're thrown back in. And it's like really overwhelming.
Yeah. When I was coming back from that surgery, it was, so there was some other stuff that was happening where I was helping somebody else who was having a near-death experience as well, get back in their body. So then I was trying to come back in mine and I would open my eyes and I'd see the nurse and she's like, Nicole, I need you to take a deep breath right now. And I'd just go, and it's like the most shallow breath. And I'm thinking like, yeah, I'm taking a deep breath. And I'm not. And then on the out breath, I would be like, oh yeah, I wasn't breathing. And then on that out breath, I'd be back out again. And the same thing would happen over and over. And it felt like 7 times I did this. Came back and the nurse was like, Nicole, I need you to take a deep breath right now. And I do the same thing. And then finally I was like, okay. Like I was trying to talk to myself saying, all right, let me in and let me back in and just stay in there. And I don't know. That was really something.
Is there any part of your body where you feel information flowing more than others? Like, do you tend to receive from more cerebrally, more through your heart?
Yeah, I feel, so I see on like a few different levels. So I'll feel stuff in like the solar plexus and heart area. So that whole area. And there's also an internal vision of things that I see. So I see and I feel at the same time. Is mostly it. I have other things that happen, but like that, those are the strongest ones where I'll see and feel things at the same time. Always been like that.
Do you ever look at reality like really, really close and just feel like this is really weird?
Yeah, probably daily. There are points throughout the day where I'm like, what the frick are we doing here? What's going on? What is this?
It's information. That's all it is.
It is. It's just data.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all it is. Data, information, frequency.
Yeah. That's what I say to my clients is like, look at whatever situation you're in. It's all it is data. Collect the data and process the data.
It just feels very real.
Yeah.
Like really real.
Yeah. Let me poke you and pinch you. It feels very real, like especially when, you know, when you're experiencing that pain of resistance, because we get in that humanness and feel like we shouldn't be feeling like this, and this is all we're gonna feel. It's the flood of these weird emotions that humans have. And then once you switch out of like, this is really nothing, this isn't even happening.
No, it's not. It's definitely not happening.
But it just feels so real. Like it's just like a dream when you have a dream and it feels so real. Well, was it? Or was it a dream? Was it real? Or was it not? Like, what did you do? Where did you go?
The fact that we need to dream sort of is a hint.
Right?
You know? We can die of lack of sleep, so. And it's not because the body needs it. It's because our spirit needs it.
Yeah. All of it.
What do you think the reason... Do you think that people come to this dimension willingly? Like through a contract or whatever? Or do you think that we're just like flung here for no reason?
That is a really good question. And what do I believe right now? I don't know what to believe on that. Because I think... Well, I'm going to go with today. My brain is kind of in that space of.
But there really is no today.
We don't really know what's going to happen. So maybe we're just like, yeah, I'll try that out. Right? It's like trying out broccoli. You're either going to like it or you're not. And guess what? If you don't, well. You're stuck with that taste in your mouth right now. So deal with it. Put some cheese on it. Find a way to like it.
Wow. That's the funniest answer I've ever heard to that question. You know, usually I hear some story about soul contracts and evolution of the soul and expansion and all kinds of things. I've never had the bad broccoli answer.
Well, you know, I don't like to overcomplicate things anymore. I used to tell my kids, you know, just try it. If you don't like it, you know, spit it in the trash. I don't care. You at least tried it. But if you tried it and you like it, and you didn't think that you would, it's just a lesson.
Yeah. Yeah, you're missing out if you don't try it.
Yeah.
Even if it sucks.
Even if it sucks. And that's the human experiment.
Yep. And usually, even if it sucks, I still have to try again just to make sure it really sucked. Or at some other point in time, I'll look back at it and go, did that really suck as bad as that? It sucked. And then do it again.
Right. Oh, God. There's so many things along that same line. Just so many things. But it's, you know, you get to create whatever you want with it. Right?
Yeah.
So if it sucks and for some reason you just want to create more of that, you can create more of that. Or you can decide that, yeah, it sucks and I do want something different, so let's do that instead.
I've almost come to the conclusion with my own purpose in life is that I have to learn how to be not ashamed that I just came here to play in the mud.
Yeah. It's so true. You know?
I don't know if there's any altruistic type of reason for it, but I certainly just came here to enjoy sensual pleasures, food, air, sunlight, feeling of being alive.
Yeah. And isn't that gratitude?
I think it is.
Enjoying something in the moment?
It is nice. Nature is very nice.
Nature is nice.
The world would be very nice if we just didn't overcomplicate it.
Exactly. It's fun to just, you know, see what you notice. Create something like in that presencing space, because that's where the magic happens.
Yeah.
It's being present. So when you're present and you're holding a higher loving gratitudinous vibration, that's how you manifest more of those better things that you want. And it can be so simple as like, it was actually funny this morning. I woke up and there was something on YouTube that was playing, and it was like a loop of like sounds, and it had like all different animals. And I woke up and I'm looking at this monkey sitting on this branch in a tree, and there are all these little ants, and they're all carrying little pieces of leaves. And I just sat there for a minute and I was like, oh, look at those ants just carrying little pieces of leaves. Doesn't that look so cute? You know, like, and I'm like, and then there's this big buffoon of a monkey just sitting there in the middle of it, like, like looking around at these, these ants. I think the ants are working so hard. And it's just like, huh. Just look at that for a minute, you know? It's just a presencing thing of that somewhere out in the world, that's happening right now. Like something like that. There's a bunch of ants in a line carrying pieces of leaves.
Yeah, nature does it for me. I do it every day. I go out and walk my dog and just chill.
Yeah.
That's when I have my best ideas.
I think that's the shower, the water. The water and the shower, and also fire. I love to like watch fire and listen to fire crackle. Mm. Very peaceful.
Yeah, yeah. We would all be more connected with our spiritual abilities and our ability to manifest if we were still more connected probably to nature.
Yeah. For sure. We're such on this fast track that everybody is so busy, busy, busy. But presencing is super powerful. If you can presence yourself even for, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes in a day, your day can shift just like that. I used to not be able to snap my fingers.
No? I can't whistle.
Yeah, I woke up one day and I was like, what reality did I enter? And I did something. I snapped my fingers. I'm like, oh, I guess I entered that reality. I can
yeah, these realities are weird.
Yeah, well, I presence myself for 5 minutes just watching myself snap my fingers and hearing it. Go like this. And actually snap it.
So, before we wrap it up, thank you for coming on. And where can people find you if you're still alive?
Well, yeah, you know. My website will carry on until, you know.
until your card no longer gives a payment.
Right. So you can find me at, just like my last name, NicoleMagic.com is my marketplace. You can see like different services and things like that. Or magicllc.com. So it's magicllc.com.
I'll put the links to those in the notes of this episode.
Yeah. So there's all kinds of different freebies, quizzes, different things that you can tap into if you're looking for something, you know, where to start. And otherwise, you can find me wherever. I'm either Magic LLC or Nicole Magic on different social platforms, too.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on. It was a pleasure having you.
Pleasure was mine, and thank you, Gary, for having me on. It was great. Good time.
Anytime. So normally I play the outro here, but I no longer have an outro because I don't have a website. So people can reach me at everythingimaginable2020@gmail.com. And thank you for listening and watching and doing whatever it is you're doing. That's it.
Recording stopped.